Botai, welcome. It's Erev Shabbat Kodesh. We're in the Deal Studios.
broadcasting live.
Baruch Hashem, it's a year of Haftarot, over a year. And we're knocking them off. Last year, if you remember, it was a rare situation. Hukat and Balak were connected. It was Mechubarim. And as a result, we read the Haftarah of Balak last year. But we did not read Hukat. So consider ourselves lucky that we can come today. Hukat is a single parasha this year, and it's a classic. The Navi is in the book of Judges, the book of Shofetim, Perek 11, and we're going to read 33 Pesukim. Overview of the Haftarah, it's talking about the Jewish people are being attacked by Ammon. Bnei Yisrael went through their bouts with Avodah Zarah, and that's why Borei Olam was punishing them, but then they made Teshuvah. Once they made Teshuvah, they needed a leader to come along and help them fight and push back Ammon. They're going to find a leader by the name of Yiftach. Yiftach HaGiladi. Exactly. And although the Gemara does not have so much favorable things to say in the sense of Yiftach's Gadlut, the Gemara says you have to respect every leader in his generation. The leader is according to the generation, and the generation is according to the leader. The Gemara says in the classic example, Yiftach bedoro kishmuel bedoro. That Yiftach and his generation, you have to compare him like Shmuel and his generation. Not to say that Yiftach was like Shmuel. Shmuel is Shmuel. But that's what you have. And they make that comparison between Yiftach and Shmuel to show that even though Shmuel was the greatest and Yiftach was not so the greatest, but still he's the generation leader, you have to give him the respect. Although today, through a beautiful analysis, we're going to see how great really this man Yiftach was. The connection between this parasha and Parashat Hukat will be obvious. Yiftach is going to make some negotiations with Ammon before he goes to fight them. The law is you try to make peace first before you have to attack, and he's going to recall some history, because Ammon is going to come along and say, hey, you took my land. Nothing changes. Still the Arabs today, 2,000 years ago, they were still saying the same broken record. You took my land. And Yiftach methodically explains why we didn't take the land of Ammon. He's going to explain it to them. You don't know how to learn the Pesukim in the Torah correctly. If you learn the Tanakh right, you'll see that we didn't take anybody's land. We actually took the land of Sihon. We weren't allowed to take your land, actually. Ammon and Moab was actually off limits. And Sihon came along and attacked and swallowed up Ammon, and we swallowed up Sihon. So therefore, if you have any claims, you know, you didn't exist. We ate up Sihon. And in the middle of that story, he mentions what we read in the parasha, and we talked about this morning at length. And we sent messengers to Edom. And we told Edom, we want to cross through your land. And they said no. And then we went to Sihon and we asked them, we want to have rites of passage through your land. And Edom said no, which is in this week's parasha. So then for the Haftarah, we'll have a deja vu of what we read in the parasha, of how he recalls the story of how Moshe and Bnei Yisrael asked to pass through and they said no. That's the simple connection. There might be some other subtle connections that we'll dig up as well. Now let's start the Pesukim. Each one of these Pesukim is a treasure. The Yiftach HaGiladi. Haya Gibor Hayil. So number one, the Navi refers to him as Gibor Hayil. On a simple explanation, we understand that to mean strength. Gibor Hayil meaning he has koach. And he was a warrior. Vihu ben Isha Zona. Oh, here we start again. Exactly with Rahav. Now the Navi tells us that he was the son of Zonah. Different explanations over here. So let's go one at a time. One interpretation, which is the simple interpretation that the Radak brings down, if you have Radak in front of you. Ben Pilegish. That's a concubine, which is legitimate. It just, the difference is that a Pilegish is does not have ketubah and kiddushin like a regular wife. But it's a designated wife. It's not considered isud. In the olden days, Pilegish was 100% mutar.
She spent the same?
Yeah. She spent... probably, yeah, for sure. That doesn't change either. Pinegas probably spends more. But the point is, that's one interpretation. The Targum, if you have Targum in your books, I don't, but Targum explains Pundakita. Pundakita means that she sold Mizonot. She gave her Mizonot, meaning Zona Melashon Mizonot. If you remember when we learned by the Haba Zonah, some learned the Haba Zonah, she sold Mizonot, that she wasn't a regular Zonah. And then they learned the same thing over here. But the beautiful explanation that I found is actually from Rabbeinu Bahya. Rabbeinu Bahya has a beautiful explanation in Parashat Masreh on the Pasuk, I think it's in Perek Lamidvav Pasuk Het. There it's talking about how in the olden days, they were very strict that you only marry into your tribe. And the law was that the ladies would marry into their tribe. And if a lady would marry outside her tribe, even though, of course, it's 100% legal marriage, it's not asur, you know, it's not the kiddushin is tofsin, it's definitely a legitimate kiddushin. However, she would forfeit the inheritance from her family once she jumped ship to a different tribe. And Rabbeinu Bahya says over here, and I quote, "Umitamze." Bebat yoreshet, a girl that has Yerusha, let's say, kishita'avor al ze, when she transgresses, v'tirtze lehinaseh l'shevet acher, and she wants to marry a different tribe, shayu korin ota zona, they would call her zona, not that others know she was a real zona, but it means that she jumped ship, she went for love, she went to a different tribe and broke the minhag. And she would in turn lose her inheritance that was coming down from her father's side. Vezeu shekatav Rabbeinu Bahya v'yiftach ha-giladi haya gibor hayil v'hu ben isha zona. What does it mean, isha zona? Ki imoshen yiftach hayta bat yoreshet nahala. She was getting a nice inheritance from her father. V'niset leshevet acher. And she ended up marrying Yiftach's father was from a different tribe. Ki en hakavana zona mamash. Chas v'shalom to say zona mamash. Chas v'chein tergem Yonatan. So the Rabbeinu Bahya goes with Targum Yonatan that Isha ben zona over here is that she married outside of her tribe. So because that we have three interpretations of it, Rabotai, let's review. Interpretation number one, zona means what? That she sold Mezonot, Pundekita. Another explanation that we said, Zona is what? That she's a Pilegesh. And the third explanation we said, Rabbeinu Bahya, I mean she married outside of the Shevet. Now, if that's the case, Abotai, if you look at the Pasuk says, Vayolid Gilad et Yiftach. Gilad has Yiftach. That means they're putting the father of Yiftach as Gilad. So there's different interpretations. What is it saying over here? So one interpretation is, if you learn that it was Isha Zona Mamash, so we learned in the Halakha that a Zona, she's not careful. If she's Mizaneh to this one, she'll be Mizaneh with somebody else. So how do you know who the father is? Which means just because the father of Yiftach was with this lady, she could have been with other men as well. So the Pasuk is coming to say, no, we know for a fact that Vayolid Gilad et Yiftach. But we're not learning that she was a Zonah, because we didn't see really, most of the commentators didn't say that. So it comes to say like this, that even though she was a Pilegesh, everybody knew that she is Gilad was the father, which means don't think that even though there wasn't a Kiddushin and a Ketubah, everybody knew that this was his wife, and if it was known, Yiftach was the son of Gilad. There's a beautiful explanation from the Kehilot Yaakov, and he comes along and says, "Vayodid Gilad Yiftach," because we're going to see that Yiftach is going to have superb characteristics. He's going to have very good midot. And the Kabbalah writes that it goes according to the Kavanah of the father at the time of the Tashmish. What is he thinking? If he's thinking for ta'ava, then it's compromised. But if he's thinking that he should have imprint on the zera that he's going to put into his wife, the proper codes, meaning of midot tovot, so therefore it'll have an effect. So the pasuk is saying over here, vayoled Gilad et Yiftach. The reason why Yiftach became a great man is because his father, at the time of the Holadah, had the proper Kavanah. Fine. Now, what happens? Amazing thing. Everything comes down the Botai, as you know, to the lowest common denominator, which the lowest common denominator always is what? Money. Anytime there's a mahloket, meaning of substantial mahloket, it's always around what? Mula, the greenbacks. And this is no exception. What happened here? Yiftach now is born. Now his mother already lost out her nahala from her tribe. Because already, according to the opinion that says she jumped ship, the halakha was once you jump ship, you don't get any money from there. So Yiftach loses that money coming from that angle. But he wants the money now from his father's Yerusha. According to the halakha, even if you say it's a pilegish, and even if you say she jumps ship from tribe to tribe, Yiftach is 100% legally, rightfully so, entitled to Yerusha. Now there's only a few people that are going to think that he's not entitled. And who's that? Right, the other people in the will, exactly. Which means, of course, as long as there's other people that are sharing the money, they're going to figure out a reason why to tell Yiftach, sorry, you don't get the money. So the pasuk comes along and says, "Vateled eshet Gilad lo banim." The real wife of Gilad had regular sons, so therefore now he has a bunch of half brothers. Yiftach. Vayigdelu bnei haisha. What happens? They grew up. When they were young, they didn't know what money was. As they started to grow up, they saw their father had some money. They saw there was a will. So what did they do? Vaygareshu et Yiftach. They chased away Yiftach. Vayomru lo, they told them, lo tenhal bebet abinu. You're not getting anything from our father. Ki ben isha aheret ata. They told them, you come from a different wife. Now again, if you look at the Mefarshim over here, the Radak, for example, says, clearly, v'shelo kedin hayu migarshin oto. It was shelo kedin. For the simple reason, ki ben hapilegesh yoresh. But again, you can, you know, distort the halakha in order to make it sound like you're right. Furthermore, he says the Radak, and even if you want to say that he came from, she married into a different tribe, and even if you want to tell me that she loses her original chelek in her original tribe, however, she does not lose the chelek that belongs to her from her husband. And he says, "V'hine nasa Gilad isha acheret meshifto, v'haya ze avel." It was considered an injustice. Ki haya ra'ui shiyaresh emahem. Really, the right was in with Yiftach. Now, here's the gadut of Yiftach, Rabotah, which is probably the main theme of this whole story. Most people, 9 out of 10 people, would now do what most families do when there's money dispute. Go to war. No, not fight. Go to war.
World war.
Hazak Baruch. World war. World war. Which means, especially if you're right. Especially if you're right. Don't mind, I should give them money. And especially in Yiftach's case, he's bald now on both sides. Because his mother lost inheritance from the original tribe. And now they're trying to skunk him out of his inheritance on this side. So basically, Yiftach is going to be broke from everywhere. So the rule would be, hazmana. We're Jewish people. We're not going to go to secular court. Send him in hazmana to the Bedin. You want to let the rabbis come along and discuss the case. Instead, over here, the pasuk says something amazing. What did he do? Vayibrach Yiftach mepene Ehav. Yiftach ran away from his brother. That's exactly why he ran away, because he did not want to make mahloket. Yiftach was a good man. He overcame his desire to be right and to get the money, but he said, you know what? Families are destroyed like this. I don't want to be involved in mahloket. And Rav Chaim Panachi says, when you see a mahloket, you have to run away like you're running away from fire. He says, you have to run away like there's a fire. So vayibrach, meaning like it was danger. Now, where does he go? He goes to a place that's called Eretz Tov. So I saw a beautiful explanation. Why do I care that the Eretz was called Eretz Tov? He ran away to, you know, to the Ashkenazim, so you hope it's, what do you have to say? Eretz Tov. So I saw a beautiful explanation. Because every day of the creation, it says, Vayar Elohim Kitov, except on Monday. On Monday, on the second day of the creation, it doesn't say Kitov. Why doesn't it say Kitov? Because on that day, Borei Olam divided the waters. Borei Olam put the Rakia, it says, Vihi Mavdil Ben Mayim Lemayim. Whenever there's Havdalah, whenever there's division, there cannot be Tov. And therefore, what do you see? That wherever there is Shalom, where there's Shalom, there can be Tov. So therefore, the Pasuk is saying that because Yiftach chose to be peaceful and not get involved and muddy himself in Mahloket, so the Pasuk says he went to Eretz Tov, meaning he went to the land of Tov, and he went to the land